just as fast as we can, holding on to one another's hands, trying to get away into the night, and then you put your arms around. Get into the spirit and the feel and the energy. 2006, ITV2, spooky. Righty-o. You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously and maybe ghost hunting less seriously. Hosted by David, tap the fucking table, Lim, and me, Joel. Why do you have to be like this? Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Very good, JB. This is, you know, it's a little different from my usual episodes, but anything to do with Girls Aloud, we're always game.
We are game. So today we are going to do something a little bit different and get dead spooky, as our girl Cheryl is currently starring and making her West End debut in 2022, A Ghost Story. So now felt like the perfect time to re-watch and recap Ghost Hunting with Girls Aloud, didn't it, David?
Yeah. I mean, if you've been following our Girls Aloud journey on Right Back At Ya, this kind of feels like a chronological natural next step. We are sort of in the greatest hits era, sound of Girls Aloud. But yeah, we will do an episode on that, won't we, Joel? Like, just to celebrate that era and the tour.
Absolutely. I mean, we wouldn't let it go amiss.
We wouldn't.
I don't think you guys would let it go amiss. But now did feel like the perfect time to do this and have some fun. It feels like an iconic piece of Twitter gay television, you know, the reaction, the memes, the GIFs. But it'll be so nice to like watch it as a full and talk through it and have some fun. So I've already seen Cheryl in this play, David. In fact, by the time this episode is out, I'll have seen her twice.
Yeah. And I'm going as well. So yeah, by the time this episode's out, I would have also seen it as well. So we can sort of give a little update on Twitter or socials or whatever once we've both been able to discuss it. Like, I actually shamefully, in like the 9+ years of living in London, I really rarely go to plays and theatre productions, which is something I need to step up this year. And I'm excited to be like seeing our shares do her thing.
Oh, David, you are going
to
love it.
You went to the press launch, didn't you?
I went to her very first performance, and I'm going to the press launch this Wednesday. So that will have happened when this is out. And you're going with the fabulous How and Live Laugh Levine. Hello, boys. I can't wait for you all to see it and get your reactions. You're all going to absolutely love it.
Is it actually scary?
It will make you laugh. It will make you jump. It's got comedy okay. moments. It's got scary moments. You know, maybe sit yourself in the middle of How and Nick in case you get scared.
I think I will. I don't know. I don't like jumpy stuff. Like, it's...
Oh, you're going to jump, darling. You're going to jump for your love. Now, if anyone is intrigued by the play, and if you're living under a rock and you've not heard about it, Cheryl is playing the lead role of Jenny, and Jenny believes her new house is haunted, but her husband, Sam, isn't having any of it. And they have some friends over for dinner, and they spend the night arguing with their first dinner guests, old friend Lauren and her new partner, Ben, who is played by the EastEnders bad boy, Jake Wood. Maybe he'll bring his friend Tish the Dish to the press night. I really hope so. The further plot is, can the dead really walk again? Belief and skepticism clash, but something feels strange and frightening, and that something is getting closer. So they're going to stay up until 2:22. And then they'll know. We won't say any more. I don't think anyone should know anything more than that about the play going in. If you do follow me on Instagram at Dr_JoelB, you will know that I pretend that I
auditioned for Jenny.
I didn't audition, David. I starred as Jenny in a previous run.
She got the role.
And let me tell you, I know you've not seen it yet, David, but Cheryl is absolutely incredible in this play. She's right at home and so comfortable on that stage. She gives a powerful performance and brings some much needed grounded realism to theatre that seasoned theatre actors struggle with.
They would overdo it.
Like, exactly.
As you put it, yeah.
And Cheryl still does it with the energy for the back row, but in a grounded, real way. And I know to some of our followers and listeners, this has potentially come as a bit of a surprise or unexpected. But let me just tell you, once you see it, it will absolutely make sense. So guys, if you haven't already, book your tickets and you will not be disappointed.
She's been getting good reviews for it. And she's on for a lot of it, I heard. I read
basically the whole play, yeah.
Basically the whole play. So you're getting your shares value for money going to this. You know what I really love about this era is just having Cheryl back and reading the interviews. Our wonderful friend Nick Levine, Live Laugh Levine, interviewed her for The Independent. That's a really good profile. Just nice to like just kind of see her more playful side come out.
Absolutely.
The Gay Times interview she did with Sam, like that was brilliant. I love the bit where they were just, that was such a fun interview. Go read that one as well if you haven't already. I love the bit where Sam's like, I have a kitchen knife under my bed in case of any danger. And she's like, oh, I don't blame you, but what are you going to do with a ghost? Where are you going to put that? It will go straight through. A knife won't help.
And I love that even in that interview, she says that in rehearsals, she did tap the fucking table to make everyone laugh and have a joke. Like, just absolutely fab.
She is aware of how iconic the ghost hunting with Girls Aloud moments are. But I think she's, you know, in the interviews, it's kind of like, why? Like, she doesn't quite get why it's camp, but it is
and
camp.
I love in that interview as well, she's like, you know, she's so thankful, you know, like for the support the gay community are showing. Yeah, her. She's yeah. like, I don't think one straight person's come up to me, say they're going, but everyone else, you know, a lot of queer people have been up like, I booked tickets to see you in Feb. But yeah, it's nice to see, who knows, maybe this is soft launching, like Cheryl's return, having fun in media. She's in control. When you've had the success they've had, there's like that, no pressure now. She can have fun and do what she wants. You know, obviously we're all hoping she returns to music on the stage, and maybe this is giving her the confidence to do that. It's also really exciting of like, wow, this fantastic element she has to her. Another thing she can do hand in hand and side by side with being out there, you know, I think it just, we see with our pop girls, like they do one thing and it's a domino effect in a brilliant way that they'll do all these other things and it might be more performances,
it'll
more
open
music.
Doors, yeah. Especially since the reaction's been so warm.
So yeah, if you haven't already, book your tickets. You will not be disappointed. It's running at the Lyric Theatre with Our Cheryl until April 23rd. No promo code, unfortunately, just a recommendation. Davo, I can't wait for you and the boys to see it, and I can't wait to see it again. Until April 23rd, maybe we should all go again for my birthday.
Oh my God, a third.
Third time. We can all tap the effing table together. So David, before we get into this very special episode, can you read us a lovely five-star review?
This one is by Scotty. It goes, addicted to this nostalgic pop fun podcast. Discovered this wonderful podcast when a wave of S Club nostalgia came over me 12 months ago. This helped me remain calm, positive, and smiling throughout the pandemic. But most importantly, introduced me to Rachel Stevens' Come and Get It album, which is ranked in the Guardian's 1,000 albums you must hear before you die list. Yes, correctly so.
Absolutely.
I've listened to the podcast religiously since, including all the older episodes. Great recap of an incredible era of music and introducing to new music. Thank you both. Thank you, baby.
Thank you, baby. I mean, look, it felt right to read that one out.
Listen, we got Madonna touring. We got like Beyonce and then S Club 7, like, take my fucking money.
All pop girls out there, if you're announcing a tour, please do it soon, because the diary's booked and busy. The bank balance is low.
Yeah.
So like, you know, come
Very
on.
Very rude of Madonna to do it like before payday in January.
Oh, I know, darling.
Like the longest month ever.
Right, Davo. So where are we? Where are we with the girls?
So we're going to take ourselves all the way back to December 2006. Now, this kind of feels like, I don't know, a bit of an in-between era for me. Like I know we love the greatest hits. We love all the eras of Girls Aloud. But for me, the kind of period of time between Chemistry and Tangled Up always felt a little lost to me. But having said that, they did have two singles out this year, Something Kinda Ooh. And I believe this episode of Ghost Hunting with Girls Aloud drops roughly like a week before I Think We're Alone Now. So the girls are doing their thing. Earlier in the year, they did the Chemistry tour. The following year, they'll do their Greatest Hits tour. So booked and busy still. And obviously having time to go ghost hunting.
I mean, you've got to book it in. haven't you? So this was first broadcast on the 12th of December 2006 on ITV2. It was the third most watched show on ITV2 that week. This is available on DVD and on YouTube if you've not seen it. But either way, we're going to deep dive into it today, so you'll feel like you have seen it. Either way, I will be hard-pressed if our listeners have not already seen this. So what is Ghost Hunting with Girls Aloud? Yvette Fielding guides girl group Girls Aloud through some of the spookiest locations in the UK. Now, today we'll see that only four of the five members took part in this, which is actually the pilot episode of this show. It's the first ever one. And it's set in North Wales. Nadine decided not to do the show because she was too scared, but we will be celebrating and watching and enjoying Nicola, Kimberly, Cheryl and Sarah go ghost hunting. So, Davo, do you know who an Yvette Fielding is?
I don't know who Yvette is. Like, I only know her in the context of this show. She's not like a paranormal expert, is she? Like, she's just an enthusiast, right?
She is. So I thought, I mean, what great context to have if you're saying to the context, this is the only one you have her. If I was going to have any context in the world, if someone on this earth was like, didn't you do one episode on Girls Aloud on some random podcast? Hopefully no one thinks our podcast is random, but I will take that context, you know, like,
yeah,
that's a hill I will die on. So first and foremost, full stop there. Do you need any more context? But we will give you some anyway. So Yvette Fielding was the youngest ever Blue Peter presenter. She started presenting on Blue Peter at 18, and one of her episodes was voted the favorite Blue Peter moment ever. So that's kind of her launch pad and what she's really famous for. And that's like pre my time. So I think maybe to the generation above us, like, they'll know Auntie Yvette.
Auntie Yvette.
I assumed wrongly, and you should never assume, through the context of this show, I thought she was a paranormal expert. I didn't realise. I thought that was her thing.
Yeah.
But no, so she's an enthusiast, as you correctly said. So then later in her career, with her husband, Carl, they both presented Most Haunted on Living. And then following off that and that being a success, Yvette got her own Ghost Hunting with show.
Right. Which brings us here, right?
Brings us here today. And she's now known as the First Lady of the Paranormal, allegedly.
Oh, my God. So, look, she's gone and made this her whole thing, her brand, you know.
We love that. Speaker. Know your audience, know your niche. She was ahead of her time.
Exactly. Yeah. I sometimes like to listen to, like, these types of paranormally stuff on, like, podcasts. So Radio 4 last year had like a haunting series at Witch Farm or something, I think it was called.
And was Auntie Yvette on it?
No, she should have been.
She should have been.
It's one of those types of podcasts where it's like they hire actors and have like lots of sound effects and stuff like that. So it really feels like you're listening to, you know, like a show. I mean, sometimes I don't love that kind of production, but you know, when you're telling ghost stories, it's really quite fun and quite camp to do
I didn't get the audition note for that, but that's fine.
Send in your reel of you playing Jenny.
If you're doing series two, I have a lot of experience in paranormal dramas. So Davo, I want to know, when was the first time you watched this special?
This must have been like, it would have probably been after Tangled Up or Out of Control albums. Like, I think that was when I was really, really big into Girls Aloud, and I had to go on YouTube and find everything about them. So it would have been a fair few years after this aired. I want to say maybe I watched Passions of Girls Aloud first before I even saw this.
This was a really good program in terms of general fans and just general TV watchers could watch. Whereas if you're diving in as a fan, you're going to consume the most related stuff to them. So even Passions of Girls Aloud, a lot of it's still music related or music adjacent, industry adjacent. So it makes sense that this isn't sort of the first thing you would find and consume. Obviously, this spawned a show where it's different celebrities going ghost hunting. But to be the launchpad of it, it's quite an oddity, really. And feels like a great get for ITV2 to get Girls Aloud to do it. It's quite a, potentially a surprising career move for them to do.
It's a good draw for them. And Girls Aloud is very ITV too. I think by this point they'd already had like two TV specials or something.
And don't forget they were formed on ITV's Pop Stars The Rivals.
Exactly. So there is that kind of brand familiarity, and they know they could just ring the girls up and be like, you up for this?
And 4 out of 5 will be.
Yeah, literally. But Nadine still showed up for the filming. She got glammed.
She did.
Jeans and a nice top.
Well, right, David, let's kick things off then. So we open this special and already this is camp. We see
dramatic.
Dramatic camp. Like, once Cheryl's had a taste for it here, I think we could do a stage adaption of Ghost Hunting with Girls Aloud. We see Nicola, Cheryl, Kimberly and Sarah in comfy versions of jeans and a nice top. And instantly, I was transported back to secondary school fashions.
Oh my God. Cheryl with her gilet and like joggers.
You know, and like
very casual.
Like, and it was all just sort of the different looks, but all match up of the girls of that time. Like, I felt like I was watching my classmates, my sister and her friends. Like, it was all just there, you know, prominent. Hoodies, tight jackets, all that kind of stuff. Scarves.
Yeah. I mean, this was like filmed probably in the winter time. If this aired in December.
Well, I was, you know, as we're watching this special, it looks really cold. I'm like, I hope they film this in a summer's evening, a summer's night.
No, but you look at the coats, like Nicola bloody had freezing. A full winter coat on. So yeah, I think it must have been like maybe September, October time that they filmed. But yeah, love seeing Nicola with her glasses. You know, that means business.
Don't I ever.
Yeah, you've got your glasses on. But yeah, Kimber looking very chic, very stylish. You know, she's giving M&S.
Like, you know, practical but comfy.
Yeah.
And got to be warm but still stylish.
Yeah.
So they're waiting outside. A vet drives up in a taxi and she proclaims, she's got a pickup for 5. Where's Nadine? And Kim replies, she's too scared. She's not coming. And Cheryl goes, she's chickened out. And so instantly you're set up with like, well, this is fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
It's a dark, lonely night, somewhere in the middle of nowhere. We've taken pop sensation Girls Aloud away from their singing and dancing for one frightful night with ghost hunter extraordinaire Yvette Fielding.
I've got to pick up for 5. There's only 4 of you. Where's Nadine?
She's too scared. She's not coming. She's chickened out.
This is a 2-hour special that we're going to dive into today. This is the closest we'll ever get to Girls Aloud, the movie. It kind of feels a bit like Spice World meets Paranormal Activity.
It's insane.
And I am absolutely here for it. So Auntie Yvette then drives to Nadine's house, David.
Leaves the 4 of them on the curb and just keeps driving.
I'll be back.
She didn't even say that. She just drove off.
Where's she gone?
I'm springing this on you, David, but I would like us to do a dramatic reading of Yvette and Nadine's back and forth. So I've got it written out and I'm sending it to you on WhatsApp now. Would you like to be Yvette or Nadine?
Oh, I don't want to do Nadine's accent. I think I'll butcher it real bad.
Okay. So you storm out the taxi and you bang on the door. I open the door as Nadine. Hello.
Nadine, what's going on? The girls are waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. What's the problem?
I'm just so scared.
Scared of what?
Ghosts, spirits, dead things, anything really.
I tell you what, Nadine, you're going to have to pay the ferryman one day.
What? And then Yvette drives off dead angry and Auntie Yvette was pissed. She gave the performance of a lifetime there.
Yeah. Fuming, absolutely fuming. But yeah, look, Nadine still rocked up and did her part and then just stayed home.
And as you say, like, looked glamorous, was kind of like also...
Oh, wasn't expecting you at all.
Exactly that. It's in terms of like, the commitment isn't there, you know, as in like, she'll do it, but will
she's
she?
She's not leaving the house. You know?
And the boundary's here, like, this is my house, I won't leave, you can't enter.
You're not welcomed in. Like, we're having this conversation at the doorstep,
Honestly, I thought you were the takeaway. So Yvette returns to the 4 girls And then they all get into the taxi. And this is where their spooky night is about to begin. We cut to a montage setting up what we're going to see for the next 2 hours in this feature length documentary special.
Tonight, Sarah, Kimberly, Nicola and Cheryl will put their beliefs and bravery to the ultimate test in 3 reputedly haunted locations. And the outcome is jaw-dropping. Will the girls ever be the same again? All of our girls had different views on the afterlife and paranormal activity before tonight. And as a result of our challenge, you will witness the amazing journey that each girl goes through.
What I am going to do, whether you want it to happen or not, is now I want to turn all the lights off.
Oh, God.
We get some camera confessionals from the girls, kind of setting up what they're doing. Kim being like, oh, yeah, dead scared. Cheryl being like, we've never done anything like this before as a band. It's like, you know, it's just a funny thing to say because it's not like you've seen Steps and Atomic Kitten and,
yeah,
you know, Rough Spice Girls doing stuff like this.
There's no precedent for it.
We're about to go to a few different haunted locations in a vet to see if we can find any ghosts or spirits.
It would be something we've never ever done as a band. And it'll be something I can remember for the rest of my life.
I'm one of these big mouths that'll probably go, yeah, let's do it, come on, that's great, yeah, yeah, I'm well up for that. And I think I'm going to get there. And as it's been getting closer to the, when we're doing it, I think it's been getting a little bit more real.
But do you think, like, the British public in general are quite into kind of ghost hunting stuff, like, do you think there's like a big appeal for this type of show that they would, that ITV would be like, yeah, sure, this will be a hit?
Yeah, I think so, especially if most hauntings done so well on Living.
And we like to sort of see our pop stars like being spooked. And there is something about it that, like, you know, we enjoy as viewers, like watching people get scared or, you know, like we've seen like Ariana Grande do like the haunted house thing. And, you know, you just know there's going to be lots of jump scares, but it's just something funny about watching people's reactions. So straight off the bat, we're getting a bit of a gauge on how skeptical the girls were. I think everyone is like maybe on the level of skepticism. Except for Nadine, obviously, she really believes it. That's why she's not going along with it.
Yeah, sure.
She's like, I'm not messing with that.
That's why.
Yeah, like she believes in the paranormal for sure, because otherwise, why would she bail?
Not, yeah.
You know,
she's really scared.
She's not messing. Yeah, she's not messing about with that. I thought it was very, it was kind of like nice to see the bond between the four of them and the kind of role they play.
Mm.
And how they, yeah, it's just nice to watch that interaction as we go along in this episode.
And boy, are we going to see a lot of that. So we're here now at our first location. Apologies for butchering the pronunciation, but I want to say it's Plas Teg, a grade one listed mansion in Wales. And before the girls jump in to that building, we're introduced to psychologist Professor Jeffrey Beattie, and he's going to be watching everything that's going on via monitors in the taxi. This taxi is playing a very important role in the TV show. You know, there's no, they wanted to keep that level of, there's no like pop-up studio or anywhere to watch stuff. It's like, no, you'll be in the taxi. We're going to set that up for you to base yourself in.
And the taxi is also like the escape, the haven for the girls. If they want to tap out, it's too scary. They retreat to the taxi with the psychologist.
Yeah, go and sit with Jeff.
Yeah. So, but basically Jeff is watching their body language and just sort of monitoring how they, the social bonds between the girls. So he is that voice that kind of informs you of what's going on there, what they might be thinking. Mm. It's sort of like Gogglebox-y in a way.
Oh my God, spooky Gogglebox.
Yeah.
Great gig for Uncle Jeff. So let's dive into the first room in this mansion. It's a lovely dining room now, but back in the day, it was a courtroom.
Mm.
And then joining onto that, we go into a bedroom, which is where people used to be hung.
Mm.
And Yvette wants someone, this is one of my favorite bits. Like what we'll love here, what we'll see throughout is like Cheryl is like a brilliant mix of like confident, bit cocky. Like she has that sort of like, naughty school child energy to her, but not in a rude way.
Yeah, just like she will challenge you. Yeah,
and it's just such a joy to watch. Yep. And so like, this is quite a small moment, but when you realise it, you realise it. So straight away, Yvette wants someone to stand in the spot where people are allegedly hung. Sarah straight away says she does not want to do it. And no. Cheryl just confidently like sort of jumps into that spot like a naughty child and is like, come on
just
then, bring it on.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm not scared. So I love that we've got that energy straight
away.
Also,
did you think that with Yvette, the way she sets this up, and we're going to see this in every location they go to, and obviously it gets scarier and scarier as it goes along. So, you know, in this beginning bit, it's all very nicely lit. It's like a normal house, but they will turn off the lights at some point. And that's where it gets dead scary. But don't you think the way Yvette builds these things up, like psychologically, you're already like, a lot of this is mental work. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like
yeah,
she
absolutely.
She deliberately tells you this is a spot where the flaps would go and then people are left dangling. And then she goes on to be like, oh, if the necks don't snap, someone down there will pull the leg. Like really graphic information. So you're already kind of like, oh,
And to get into that, right, she goes, so Cheryl's jumped into this spot and Yvette goes, you know what happened there? And Cheryl so ballsily goes, yeah.
And? Am I bothered?
And then exactly, Yvette goes on and tells them all of that. And what I love here from the get-go is that Sarah is fully committed to jumping into this experience. And I think if this is how you're ever going to do it, like that's the way to do it. You know, you can have preconceptions, you can be cynical, you might not believe in it, but if you're going to go for it, why not go for it and commit and really open yourself to what's going on here?
I'm going to ask you now, Joel, would you ever do something like this?
If ITV called and wanted to do Right Back At Ya, absolutely. Not just me and you, though. Like, we'd have to have an Auntie Yvette and, like, security guys and...
Oh, yeah, crew.
And crew. Not just us with our phones or, like, cameras.
No.
But
no,
someone
no,
guiding
no.
us through. And, you know, if we had the two Steve security that we'll meet later. And Uncle Jeff in the taxi. Absolutely. Absolutely. Would you do it?
I actually kind of, like, believe this stuff. So I don't know. I don't know.
This is like, David putting out the feelers there for his soft launch, like, spin-off career as, like, hosting a topical
really
ghost
scared.
Show.
Look, I'm a big Freddy cat, so I don't know if I could go through with it. But I will do it with
you. Oh, no. And I'll be like, David's gone to the taxi. Go and sit with Jeff, David.
Yeah. Step into the house, some weird creaking noise. I'm out.
I'm not as bad as I'm older, but I was such a scaredy cat as a child, David. Like, even until not that long ago, I think I've just sort of calmed down a bit in my early 30s. But I would never want to do this on my own. No way, Jose. So if you were like, I'm going in the taxi, I wouldn't be able to continue on my own. Not at all. But ITV, we are available. I think it's a great time. I think the last one was in 2011. So, you know, just over 10 years on. We will go ghost hunting.
Yeah, we will.
So here we'll see, which we then see throughout the whole special, is Yvette asks them to start making sort of knocking sounds and once for yes, twice for no. And we'll see that go on. And then she asks Kim to stand in the hanging spot. And then Kim's like, what's the relevance of us standing here?
She's so, like, practical, and I just love that. Like, she is truly the mum of the group.
Yeah.
You know, and even Jeff says this, like, Kimberly's the one that holds them together, even through this experience. Like, she's, you know, the sensible one. She is that kind of... And you see that with the girls when they get a little bit scared, like, they will go and cuddle up to Kim or, like, hold her hand or something. Like, Sarah does it, Nicola does it. I'm sure Cheryl did. I mean... Yeah. You know, they were both really the ones that saw this through, Cheryl and Kim. But yeah, I think if Kim went, then, well...
There'd be no Cheryl, special.
Yeah. If she went to the taxi, that's it.
Because it's probably that thing of, like, Cheryl has this ballsy confidence as long as she knows that, like, Kim's there, that protection element, so she can bounce off of that. Whereas, yeah, if that piece of the puzzle went, then... It wouldn't be a 2-hour special. Yeah. Be a lovely 15-minute segment. So They go on to ask the spirits to tap for how many times they are there. They potentially get up to 9, 10. They ask the question to the spirits, are you fed up of people coming here to visit you? One knock for yes, two knocks for no. And they get two knocks for no. And the kind of group reaction is like, oh, isn't that lovely?
Loves a bit of tourism.
Obviously, there's so much here of like, we don't know what layers are put in post and what's really there, but we'll just go with it.
I mean, even Cheryl says in the recent Gay Times interview that she doesn't know how much of it was real, or was it like a crew member that dropped a bit of this, or, you know, made that noise? Like, yeah. There's so many people involved in the making of this kind of stuff that, you know, anyone could have faked something on set. Do you know what I mean? And also, like, we're filming in very old buildings. So yeah. Old buildings make noises.
And if this all really is filmed in one night, the show would have to be like prepared almost like choreography in a way, because no special is really filmed in one night. Like something of this length would be filmed like for 2 weeks minimum. So if this is really filmed in one night, they have to really zip along and have everything prepared to sort of lay out and make something's got to happen.
Yeah. So we're like, you know, obviously we want to believe, but pinch of salt.
A pinch of salt. So then, yes, we move on to the Regency room in the second floor. And Auntie Yvette tells them straight away that sometimes it's good to just stand in a room and just really listen. Now, David, I'm not doing that ever in my life. Like, if we do the ITV special, I'll do that with you and Yvette and everyone. But I'm not going to go about my life like just stopping and really listening. No, no, no. Headphones in or
no, because when you listen, you will hear stuff and then your mind starts playing tricks on you. And like I said, it's an old house. They're probably like creaky pipes. There's floorboards. There's things.
Yvette starts off in this room with asking the girls, do you want to ask anything or do you want me to do it? And straight away, Cheryl goes, you. And then she gets a little bit more confident and Yvette goes, is there a woman in here? Touch me. And then Cheryl goes, or me. And like literally she's just on fire. And what I love here is Sarah's so respectful. She goes, I feel like I'm invading her space. Like, what a respectful queen, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, watching this special, it really does highlight all the girls' personalities and their traits that we know them and love them for. And we've always known that Sarah is quite a sensitive soul. And I think, you know, that really comes out in this special, because she really empathizes and she is just very sensitive to energies and she's in tears for a lot of it. And it's just, yeah, it's a lot for her, but she also like doesn't want to miss out. So she participates for a lot of it herself, even though she's freaking the fuck out. Yeah,
she is. But she's also that comes, if you're going to be that committed to it, I think it goes hand in hand.
Yeah. She's just good quality for the show.
Absolutely. Like, and you've got to remember, like, these are young girls. They're pop stars. This is so far from their day-to-day.
For most of our day-to-days, yeah.
Speak for yourself, darling. Then we move on to the twin room on the second floor.
Because she's already given you the context of what's happened in this house. Like, I think the room was like, a woman had a miscarriage. Yeah. I think it was in this room that she was describing what a phenomena is, right? Mm. So sometimes she would say that, you know, women would feel like a pain in their stomach because the ghost had a miscarriage. And she was like, oh, early in the day, the makeup lady said that she felt a pain in her stomach. So already Yvette is like, you know, sowing the seeds.
Getting it all together.
Getting it in your head. She's getting in your head with this stuff. And then also like she's saying, you know, a way that it can manifest itself is that you can suddenly feel very emotional, like you want to cry. That feeling just overtakes you. Yeah. And at this point, Nicola is very, very quiet. Yeah. Like she barely says anything as they're moving through the house. You know, you can see her body language. She's looking down on the floor a lot. I think actually I would be a bit like Nicola. Yeah. If I was doing it.
And then I love that how we get into the stuff about the pain. It's still brought up in like a, Cheryl kind of has a defense mechanism in a way of, she won't openly say she's had a pain in her stomach. She goes, so if I said I had a pain in my foot, I'd feel like an idiot bringing that up. And then Yvette comes straight back with, well, I wouldn't necessarily associate that with paranormal activity. But then she goes on to explain that, you know, it's more if you feel sick and want to cry. And then, as you were saying, Cheryl admits she's had a pain in her stomach. And Yvette goes on to tell us that that could be associated with a woman losing her baby.
Mm. But, you know, like, say, for example, I had a pain in my foot, I would feel like an absolute idiot saying, right now I've got a pain in my foot. I wouldn't necessarily associate that with paranormal activity. It's something where all of a sudden, for no reason, you start to feel sick or you want to cry.
Just because I had a pain in my stomach.
Where?
In here.
Now, in here?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one of the phenomena that many women have felt.
And then the VO tells us that Cheryl loses that pain as soon as she leaves the room. So dead spooky. God.
Dead spooky. Also, that whole time when Yvette's like, you know, gently touch one of the girls, Nicola's like, stop saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why would you say she doesn't?
David, I think you got a lot from this special. I can tell. I think you took it all in.
I was really immersed.
You were. I feel like you are coming for Auntie Yvette's career. Like, I feel you took a lot from this. And then we move on to the panelled room on the second floor. Now, this is one of my favourite moments of the special, David. So Yvette goes into this room and she goes, this room to me is my least favourite room. I don't like it in here at all. She goes on to say that she thinks it might be because of the dark panelling. Straight away, we have Sarah going, very masculine. And then Cheryl, without a beat, goes, very bachelor.
This room, to me, is my least favourite room. I don't like it in here. I don't like it at all. But I think that's probably got a lot to do with the dark panelling. It's all very dark in here,
very
isn't
masculine.
It? Yeah, isn't it?
Very bachelor.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and it's here, as you're saying, their personalities. Like, we're ghost hunting, it's all of that. And then we're just in a room because it's interior. Yeah, very bachelor in here. Then you're just imagining, like, what is this bachelor ghost chilling out?
With his glass of Hennessy, yeah. Smoking a cigar.
So yeah, I just think it's these small moments like this that is just such the joy of this special and this moment in time. It's here that Yvette asks, has anyone done a seance before? And if they're happy to do one. Now, Kim says she'd sort of, you know, done one as a kid, but nothing really. Would you, in this moment, do a seance if you were here?
No.
You'd want to go and see
Uncle
Jeff?
I don't want to conjure anything. No, thank you.
I mean, ITV, look, wouldn't that be such fabulous television there? Come on, Dave, you can do it.
So you would do it. You would. I don't want to, like.
I mean, I'm all talk, David. I'm all talk, because who knows when you're really in that situation. But right now, I think I'd probably be like Sarah, because she was saying how she was so confident and up for it before. So I think I'd be like that, like, yeah, come on, David, let's go for it. And then
once you're sitting down.
Jeff!
And then this is the bit as well where Yvette says the light's going to go off and they were like, oh, no, we don't want the lights to go off, because that completely changes everything. When you're sitting in a dark room with just one candle in front of you on the table.
No.
Your mind is playing tricks.
Because even now, like, because I, you know, I love some horror films. Like, I love, like, teen slashers. I don't really love, like, the Saw kind of stuff. But I still wouldn't want to watch them with the lights off. Mood lighting, yes. Lights low, like Girls Aloud would say, yes. But darkness, absolutely not.
No, I can't do it. No. But this is what they're about to do.
It is. And then it's here, David, that something...
kind of
Something kind of touches Cheryl's arm.
You see her, like, jump. She literally flinches, and it's all caught on camera. There's obviously no one behind her, but she felt something that was so visceral that she jumped. Like, you could see her startled.
Absolutely. And then it's so emotional that she starts crying and says that it felt like something stroked her arm. And it's this point where it's not as if she even goes to the taxi to see Uncle Jeff. Jeffrey comes in and chats to Cheryl, and even here he's come to chat to Cheryl, but Kimberly's with her, so it's like, yeah, I'll have that, like,
yeah,
confidence, emotional support mechanism. Yeah. He's here to put her mind at ease, and he goes on to explain that, you know, maybe it was subconsciously picking up on Yvette's movements because she does sort of an arm movement and Cheryl jumps. But like you were saying before, it's all about how it's Yvette setting it up in your mind.
Psychologically. And also Cheryl's reaction like that would have set off the other girls as well. Because now everyone's really on edge, you know, just before you sit down for the seance. It's too much already. I'm already feeling like if I was in a room and that happened to someone next to me, I'm like,
We should
get
both
the fire exit door.
Yeah.
Should we? I've just seen something really scary.
Yeah. No, he's out of here.
Get that fire exit door. I'm off.
Aaron, what I absolutely love is that even after he's had that rational chat with Cheryl, he asks her, how convinced is she that something touched her? And she goes, as convinced as this. And she reaches over and touches his arm. So she's got no doubt in her mind about it at this moment in time. And then they all have a laugh, the three of them. And what I love about this special is there's that fine line of like, they'll be really serious and scared. And then one minute they'll be laughing. And I think you kind of have to be in that situation, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, you kind of like, you know, this is for a TV show. And there's potential that it's all in your head, one, and two, there's people pulling strings behind the scenes. So,
yeah.
But damn, when you're in that moment,
So then we get to it here, the seance. Sarah's worried about it, as is Nicola, and they turn all the lights off. At this
Nicola's
point,
Nicola's out.
At this point, Nick.
Get that fire exit door.
The original, get that fire exit door open. Nicola's reached her limit. And it's
I think it was the moment where they decided the lights were going to be switched off that she was like, no.
Yeah.
I can't do it in the dark. Like, it's too much.
So it's, yeah, I think choose your character in this adventure. Do you think you'd be quite a Nicola in this situation and her reactions? Yeah. And then I would like to think I'm a Kimberly, but I would probably react as a Sarah.
Yeah.
So she goes and sits with Jeffrey in the taxi, and here she admits that earlier in the night, she had a feeling that was sort of like very emotional, very overwhelming, and she doesn't want anything touching her.
No.
I don't think I can handle the seance. I'm just asking for trouble. I just can't. In the pink bathroom, I didn't have a very nice feeling at all. Like, I had a horrible, horrible feeling. Like, I was full of emotion. Like, and if someone would have asked me if I was all right, I would have just, like, burst out crying. I didn't know why. And then when Cheryl just got touched, I thought, nah, I can't.
As Nicola reaches her limit, she retreats to the taxi to keep tabs on the rest of the group with psychologist Jeffrey. So it's one down, three to go.
Before, I've always been like, do they exist? Yeah, they do. No, they don't. Whatever. But now I'm more like, they actually do. And so now I know what they're capable of. And I don't want to be sitting there and hear knocks on the floor or feel something touch me or see something fly past. I don't want to see that.
No.
Because it will frighten me.
And as we go on, I bet her and Jeffrey had a lovely time in that taxi.
She's still getting her fee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think they had a real good, fun time. I can't believe... Imagine doing this sober as well. Like, no way.
Go on, Nick. Have a flask of whiskey.
Yeah, exactly.
In the taxi,
I'd have a good old drink. I'd be like, is there a bar in this taxi? And they'd be like, no, Joel, this is still work. Right, yeah, of course, absolutely. But Uncle Jeff, what do you got there?
Yeah. But yeah, she did say that, yeah, she didn't want to sit there and feel something touch her. Like she said, see something fly past. I don't know why that made me laugh, but it just seemed very like Scooby-Doo cartoon, like a ghost would just woo.
Well, I think it's that thing as well, isn't it? Of like, if you're so scared to leave it, your mind's going to actually run a million miles per hour. Whereas actually the better thing for your mind is to probably experience it and see that nothing really happens. Whereas if you don't, you're like, yeah, something's going to fly about, something's going to grab me, all this, all that. So the seance starts and Sarah, bless her, so politely goes, can you let yourself be known, please, but in a friendly way? And they go on to ask if they intended to scare Cheryl. And Cheryl goes, how is he supposed to answer that, though? And then around this point, we get a loud bang, which causes an extreme reaction from Sarah.
Oh, she starts bursting into tears. Yeah.
Bless her. And this is where she goes, why do you have to be like this? And bless her, it's so, she's just so in the moment with it all. And then Cheryl here, without a doubt, goes back to her, you asked him for a sign?
Why do you have to be like this?
Oh, Sarah,
why does he have to be like this?
He's just, you asked him for a sign.
Yeah, but a horrible sign.
Sarah, please.
But I also love this bit where, like, Sarah is, like, hysterical. And then you can just hear, like, underneath it all, Kimberly's very, like, calm, measured tone. Obviously holding her hand. She's like, Sarah, please. It's like such a mum thing. I picked up on it when I was watching back, like, yesterday. I was like, just underneath all the hysterics, Sarah, please.
That's kind of the dynamics you've got here. Kim, mum. Cheryl.
School teacher, yeah.
Cheryl is like naughty oldest child, confident. Nicola, I would say, is middle child, taking no shit, getting the hell out of here. And then Sarah has the energy of like the youngest child, the one that really believes it, is in on it, is like really scared.
Yeah.
And that's how girls allowed family tree. So Yvette tries to reassure that this wasn't violent, it wasn't harmful, they're just trying to let themselves known. And then they can't find what caused the bang.
Because they're still fucking sitting in the dark, yeah.
And yeah, they're adamant there that they won't turn the lights back on, no, they need to continue. It's where Sarah reveals that she doesn't like men, and I'm like, honestly, me either. Very relatable. So then Yvette goes on to ask the ghost to make another sound or move the table. And then some sound here comes from behind Cheryl.
And this is where Yvette is really stirring the pot. Like, I mean, she does it obviously throughout the whole episode, but she's like, that sound, the footsteps are coming from behind you, Cheryl. Like, and what I loved about this part is Cheryl immediately turns around and faces the direction that the alleged footsteps are coming from. I would not be doing that.
No, I'd be like Kim.
I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see anything. But Cheryl is almost like, okay, go on then. Like, yeah, I want to see it.
And you know what, girls? This year, we've got to have our lucky girl energy, but I'm going to have 2006 Cheryl Cole confidence energy as well.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to live my life.
Going into it, yeah, for sure.
So then around here, Cheryl goes, absolutely brilliant. The sooner you do something, the sooner we'll go. Get that through his thick head. And around here, Yvette tries to say that there's a slight moving of the table. She's the only one that can say she can feel it. Kim goes, I can't.
No, but that's the thing as well. Like, she got all of them to keep their hands on the edge of the table, right?
Yeah.
And then to be like, oh, can you feel any movement? Chances are, you've got four people with both hands on the table. Someone's going to move something, right?
Yeah, even just that unintentional body reaction.
Exactly. So, yeah, Yvette, that's just, you're just playing.
I feel like if you ever met Yvette, you would be going through this. Fact or fiction, Yvette, were you stirring the pot? Was the candle
really moving? Did you
really
move the table? Yeah.
Was there a sound behind Cheryl? And the candle holder, yeah, allegedly moves. But, you know, we can't see that. So here we get another bang, very similar to the first one before. Two thuds, but nothing there. Do you think this was production kind of throwing
production.
Something?
Yeah.
You don't think it was real watching it?
No, no, no. I think this is production. They would have sat in that room for such a long time.
One of the cameramen's like, sod this.
Sod this. Let's get this moving. Is this the bit where Cheryl, is this the bit where Sarah's like, you've pissed him off now? Like,
yeah, well, throughout the thing, they're all like, it's you they want, Cheryl. Or if like, but then
they're
also
after you, Cheryl.
But yeah, then also in a protective way, later on we'll see, like, if something happens to one of the other girls, she's like, it's me they want, they were trying to get me. So here it's where Yvette's like, right, they still can't turn the lights on, but Yvette's like, let's get our night vision cameras and continue, sort of have a walk around. So here they do find a very small hard ball on the floor, which they assume made the two sounds.
Yeah.
And then after here, they all go and have one-on-one chats with Jeffrey just to talk through everything. Then they go back into the house in the dark and they split into two groups.
Kimberly, very iconic. I can't see a fucking thing.
So we have, as you say, Cheryl and Kim, who can't see an effing thing. They're on the ground floor, and Yvette and Sarah are on the great landing on the second floor. Sarah, bless her, is absolutely terrified, but she has her crystal with her. Love that. Very, like, ahead of her time there.
Mm.
So we're cutting between the two girls here, and just some great moments. We've got Cheryl. Do you think we should go in that room? Kimberly, no, Cheryl, I can't. Can you? And just what I love about this whole show is that, and these elements, it's just like their faces and reactions on the night vision camera are just genius. Oh, yeah.
And also, like, so stunning.
Yeah, I feel like that could be an art installation. Like, I could watch that all day. Yeah. Or, like, a Halloween club night. They should just be playing this on loop.
It's just so also, like, as we've been saying, like, Cheryl, the way she antagonizes the spirits. It's like, she's given us so many iconic quotes in this thing. You know, obviously, apart from tap the fucking table, there's also, I don't understand why this squire is so anal.
And walking through this, Cheryl walks ahead in, you know, this room that she can't, Kim can't go in. Cheryl goes in and Kim goes, Cheryl, you've got some steel balls. Yeah, balls of steel.
I don't know what's gotten into you.
Maybe Uncle Jeff did give him a bit of confidence, Dutch courage, do you know what I mean? So Sarah asks not to be touched by the ghosts. Both locations, they're asking if anyone's out there. They get a tap in both locations. In the Cheryl and Kim one, Kim can't hear anything. And Cheryl's like, there was two little taps. I'm going to tell you now. Cheryl asks for two louder taps. Nothing really happens, but we do get Kim going, I heard one. And then we cut to Sarah. So eloquently puts, do you feel any pain? Any anguish? I'm like, wow, Sarah. And here we do get a bang. Yvette gets some taps and some knocking. Cheryl and Kim then join them on the second floor. Cheryl proclaims that they had a couple of knocks in the hanging room.
Mm-mm.
Yvette asks if they all want to go in a room. Sarah doesn't want to go in. And she's like, that man doesn't want us in there. And then Sarah goes, that man doesn't want us in here.
I just feel like, yeah, and he Cheryl, doesn't like us.
And Cheryl goes, did he tell you? And then Sarah's like, well, he didn't tell
me.
Not in so many words, but I got a feeling. So I love that thing of like, Cheryl just flipped between being in it 1 minute and then can't help being like cynical the next. It's brilliant.
That man's hostile. He doesn't want us there. He doesn't want us there.
Did he tell you?
He didn't tell me in so many words, but I get the feeling that he doesn't want us there. And I wouldn't be saying that if I didn't feel it.
I just love it. I just can't. Like, also, like, the way she teases Sarah, like, it's insane. I love it. It's just their dynamics. But yeah, to be honest, that sounds like an excuse to not go in, Sarah, if I may be so bold to say. Oh, I just have a feeling that he doesn't want us in there, so let's just leave it, yeah.
I don't agree for a second. I think she was really feeling stuff in there and was really scared. At this moment, I've got to take us out of everything, David, because at this point, in the night vision, I noticed that it looks like Cheryl has gum in. And I'm just going to say that is very, very unsafe. You're in situations where you're potentially going to jump, you're going to scream, you're going to run, and you could choke on gum in that situation.
Oh, yeah. Health and safety first. Yeah.
So, you know, production on that, I would tell you off, but also Cheryl probably would have been told and she would have continued doing it anyway. So back into it, Cheryl screams that something just hit her on the hand. And then it's where you, David, do the quote. Would you mind giving it to us again? Because it was so fabulous. The squire quote.
I don't understand why this squire is so anal.
And then here we get it. It's probably what you've tuned in for. we get Cheryl proclaiming her infamous line, "If you're here, just tap the fucking table." And then we get a loud bang, and Sarah follows it up with, "Cheryl, what did you do that for?"
"If you're here, just tap the fucking table." "Cheryl, you fucker!"
"Right, I'm out of here."
"What the fuck did you do that for?"
And then it's this moment that the girls all run out the house. We've got some production trickery here because they regroup with Nicola and they all come running out of the front door. They tied it over with the VO, but I feel like they filmed maybe the entrances and exits before they knew who was going to run in and out of the house. And then also they needed to clear up the look of the taxi so they could all cleanly run into there. I don't know where Uncle Jeff is when they drive to and from these next locations, but...
Another taxi.
So then that's location one done, Davo. We move on to location two, an old abandoned hospital in the depths of Cheshire.
A sanitarium. And there's a morgue in here as well. So, you know, dead spooky.
Dead bloody spooky. So to kick things off, we meet history buff Dan Clark. And he tells us this hospital was built to treat people with tuberculosis and that it's a remote location. It's a very sorrowful place. And there are rumours that two murders took place here. What's really interesting, and the girls are asking really good questions. They ask, when did it become inactive? And it only became inactive 15 years ago at the time. So that's so recent, really.
Yeah, it really is. Like, still within that generation. Yeah.
And the place is going to be completely, nearly dark. So then Dan leaves them, Yvette returns, and then they go to take a look through the morgue. Jeff's back in the taxi having a lovely time. We get into the morgue, and it's said that the morgue is haunted by a lab assistant and that a spirit of a woman is also present there. Yvette asks the girls if they'd like to start a Ouija board.
Have you ever done one of these before?
I think maybe at college once, but it wasn't like proper and it was with people that would push it and stuff like that. What about you?
No.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to communicate. I don't want to conjure. Mm-mm.
No. It would be, this isn't something I would ever do in my day-to-day or hanging out with friends or something of interest. I would only
It's not like some sort of American movie was like, oh, you know, drinking games, should we do a Ouija board?
Yeah.
It's not in my interest.
It's not in his nature.
To play with these things. And, you know, I was raised in like quite a strict Christian household. So, you know, the devil is very real.
Yeah. I would only do it for television. So. Yeah.
So Ouija board, all the rage. Isn't this what Jumanji was based on, the film in the 90s?
It was more like a board game, but maybe there's a Ouija board element to it.
I feel like this was very popular in the 90s. Oh, but yeah.
So they're going to start a Ouija board. Nicola here says she's just going to stand and watch. She's not going to take part, which is a very respectable choice. And here she's saying she's staying in the room, but she's not going to take part. The rest of the girls and Yvette all put a finger on the glass. Lots of calling outs to the spirits. In this segment in general, really, there isn't that much movement on the board. They get a little bit of movement. Do you think Auntie Yvette was moving the glass?
Yes. Just for TV, yep.
2 hours of standing there. All right, I'll give it a push. So Yvette goes on to say that her hand is freezing. Sarah agrees. And Cheryl agrees, but there is a draft coming from every angle.
Yeah.
And then Yvette asks the spirits to move the glass violently. And Cheryl's like, why are you saying... And Cheryl's like, why are you saying violent? And she's like, you're being impatient with him, Yvette.
The minute anything gets violent, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Ultimately... the most movement we get is towards a no. I would say personally, this is the most underwhelming part of the special.
Especially when you're like meant to be ramping things up. And believe me, things do get escalated.
Bloody hell.
In this location.
Blair Witch Project is shook.
Maybe that's how it is. Like, you know, she wanted to ease the girls into something a little bit lighter. And, you know, the lights are on in this room. It's their first activity in this particular location. And then once the lights are off, it's like, uh-oh. All hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah. My God. So we then go on to look at where the bodies were stored in the morgue.
Oh, yeah, they go down this corridor. Yeah. Right? And like, I love that bit where Yvette's like trying to usher the girls in.
Yeah.
And Nicola's like, don't push me. I'll go. You go first and I'll follow. Like, don't push me.
Yeah, I love that. And that's exactly what I would be like. There's like no way I'm going to go first on those. It's like, you know, Yvette, you'll go first. Absolutely. So then Yvette tries to encourage one of the girls to go in and like lay on one of the slabs that the bodies are on. And Yvette's like, I'll do it with one of you, but I won't do it on my own. Cheryl won't do it, but more because she's worried about disease. And Kim's like, it's the dirt for me, which is absolutely me in that situation. There is no way I'm laying on a dirty old slab, you know?
Get Kim Woodburn in there first.
Absolutely.
Do a bit of sprucing up.
You know, like, I don't like, you know, I'm the most unnature person as it is. So, yeah, it's the dirt for me too, Kim, to be honest with you. Here, David, is where something I think you and Auntie Cheryl would have a crossover in interests. Cheryl goes, I have quite a sick fascination for forensics, detectives and that. So I'm like, do you think Cheryl now, in 2023, listens to true crime podcasts?
Oh, I bet she does, yeah. I mean, she's even said, like, in the Gay Times interview that she, you know, believes all the paranormal stuff. Like, she's really into that kind of stuff. And, like, she's very sort of tapped in spiritually as well. So, you know, she believes in signs and things. So she's on definitely on that wavelength, yeah.
So maybe if we rebrand as a true crime podcast, Cheryl, we come on as a guest. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go for another 5 years exclusively true crime on the hopes to go for it. So then we then move into the infirmary and there are allegedly many spirits in here. And I love how we're just sort of given these statements and we have to go with it. But you do. So
it's pre-Wikipedia, wasn't it?
The girls, we must say, the girls' senses are very heightened at this point. Like, you know, that's the job's really being done here. Here we have a vet tries to communicate with the spirits. We get some knocks, but not much really happens.
No. I think at this point, Cheryl was like, you know, tap the window if you fancy our cameraman or something.
Yeah, absolutely. So here is, yeah, you get a vet and Nicola calling out for a spirit.
For a sign, a tap or something.
And then I love that Cheryl just being so perfect in that moment with, yeah, if you fancy our cameraman, but it's already cut off. Because I love on this, they're kind of talking all over each other, just going for it. So she's doing that, but we get a reaction kind of from the previous thing, and that's when Nicola's like, get me the fuck out of here!
She was off. She is just, get that fire exit door.
I don't want to do this. I'm being deadly serious now.
Now, I want to say something. As I was watching this yesterday, Joel.
Oh, no.
Right in that moment where they were asking for a tap.
Oh, no.
I heard a tap.
Oh, no.
On our kitchen window in the other room. I was just like. And I was watching this in daytime. Like, imagine if I was watching this at night and I heard that noise. I would have been like, mm-mm. I'm switching this off. I'm going to bed. Even like Yvette and the girls got me
into
in the
your
headspace.
Mind, yeah.
They got in my head. So I was like, mm-mm. Like, I'm so, you know what I mean? Like, I saw like a little mouse run across our kitchen once. And then for months.
At this flat?
The flat I'm in. And for months, I was just like spooked. Even like the reflection of my foot moving in the kitchen, I would be like, oh my God, is that a mouse? Like,
but do you remember how jumpy I was when we lived together? Mm. Like one of you boys would just walk into the room and I would jump.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much that, I guess I was scared when I jumped, but it's not like I'm standing there scared. But yeah, I was just a really jumpy person. Oof, bloody hell.
I just couldn't,
So yeah, this is the room where it all kicks off with Nicola not wanting to go first. And I love there's an interaction here of like, she'll be like, it's like a proper little house. And Yvette states at the beginning of all this that this is where they're going to turn off all the lights. And instantly, Nicola wants to leave. And Cheryl reassures her with, Nicola, honestly, it's fine. And I love that it's like, Cheryl has no further information than Nicola, but she's just like, honestly, it's fine. So at this point, Nicola really has had enough and is escorted by security back to the taxi. This leaves Yvette, Sarah, Cheryl and Kimberly still in the dark. Sarah is scared and Cheryl tells us she's not, but wishes we had a bit more noise. And Kim wishes we had a bit more light, which, you know, all very valid and fair. This bit really made me laugh. Cheryl suggests and asks that the ghost knocks as many times as the first letter of their name. So, you know, my name's Cheryl, which you probably know, and it would be C, so knock three times. It's like, that could take ages. Even to get to J, that will take forever.
How much fucking tapping do you want?
You could knock on the wall, right, to spell the name. So if the name begins with C, knock.
Shh. Did you hear it?
Mm.
I prefer the knocking.
So if the name begins... whatever the name begins with, the knock as many times until it stops with the first letter.
Try it.
Do you know what I mean?
Of the alphabet.
Cheryl, so if it's say, they would knock three times, wait for a bit, then knock however many times to the next letter.
Go on, then try it.
What, could you knock for as many times as your first initial?
But I mean, clever thought, but just really made me laugh.
Not realistic.
Not practical when it's put into practice. They decide to walk further into the building. And then we cut to Jeff and Nicola in the taxi having a lovely time. And this is where I think there's a potential spin-off of just Jeff and Nicola observing all this. Maybe a Jeff and Nicola...
Gogglebox moment.
Maybe a Jeff and Nicola reunion on Gogglebox. he says, which one of your friends do you think is enjoying it the most? She says she thinks that Cheryl and Kim aren't into it, but she's really surprised at how sucked into it Sarah is.
Yeah.
And I just think I love Sarah's commitment. I think if you're going to go for it on this show, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Because she was freaking the fuck out and like in tears, but still, like, I think the thing with Sarah is that, like, maybe, you know, there is a little bit of FOMO, like she doesn't want to miss out on the action there. So she will go along with it.
Yeah. And then at this point, we get Sarah proclaiming that something went through. But we have these few moments that something quite big is said, but it's just sort of glazed over and moved on. I guess nothing else really happened, so they kind of sharp past it in the edit. They continue to move through the building some more. And Yvette says that she hears a... but no one else hears it. They claim that they catch it on camera and they play it back to us. I couldn't really hear anything.
I couldn't hear it, but, you know... And wasn't, like, didn't one of the girls go, like, oh, it could have been an owl?
Yeah.
Is it an owl?
Are you sure that's not an owl? It's, like, so specific, but I guess they are out in the middle of nowhere. Sarah is just shook by everything, bless her. And she says that she's cold and emotional. It's exactly how I'd be. Yvette suggests she takes them somewhere a little bit more frightening.
Mm-mm.
Again, we have something that's completely ignored. Cheryl says... I just had a deja vu. No one acknowledges it and they just move on. and then a little white thing goes past Cheryl and they all look back at it on the camera. It looked like an insect to me. They're all convinced it's something else. They're like, that is definitely not an insect because of how fast it is and it disappears. To me, that was an insect flying away into the darkness.
Oh, so everything looks scarier in night vision. Dead spooky.
Now we go to our last location, David, the nurse's house.
Oh, yeah. This is the one with the ghostly matron that was talking about. I just cannot with this. This is complete darkness at this point. And they're walking into unfamiliar spaces in the dark. All you have is basically just the light on Yvette's camcorder that's leading the way. And that is like nothing.
No. So from the get-go here, Nicola is going to stay in the taxi with Uncle Jeff. As you said, there's going to be no lights in here at all. Just those little camera lights, which is nothing. Two security people join them and assure the girls that they will stay with them at all time. And then they are going to walk into the darkness of this building. Sarah's not sure if she can do it.
This is the bit she taps out, right?
Yeah, she's getting there. This is where Yvette says, Cheryl, she's being very brave. And Kim's instant reaction is...
And me. Don't forget about me.
Yeah, exactly. But I would be too. If Kim's like, I've been cool, calm and collected this whole time and you're going to tell Cheryl she's been very brave? Like, come on.
Yeah. Give me my flowers.
Exactly. Which good for her for speaking up, because sometimes that person in that role, like the organiser, the hard worker, the keeping together, doesn't get the credit they deserve or doesn't speak up about it. So yeah, so she bloody should. Yvette is convinced she can hear footsteps, and it's here that Sarah decides to leave, but she says she's gutted about it. Cheryl tries to, which is actually a really nice moment. Cheryl tries to get her to stay and tells her she's stronger than this.
Yeah.
But she's had enough. It's Sarah's get that fire exit door open moment. And she goes and joins Nicola and Jeff.
Nicola in the taxi. What I find a bit like, because she was still a little bit distressed when she got into the taxi. Like, I didn't see like Nicola giving her a cuddle or anything like that. But I guess like Nicola was probably still a bit spooked as well. It wasn't just like a natural instinct to just huddle.
No.
You know?
I think on one hand, Sarah's like, I've been eyeing up what a lovely time Jeff and Nicola have been having in the taxi. So I want some of that action. But then on a more like serious level, I think you've got it on the head there, David, because you've got kind of maybe two of the extreme reactions of this. So Nicola's still sort of like silent.
She's internalizing it.
Dealing with it.
Where Sarah's very outward in her expression. Yeah. So you've got two very different reactions to a spooked out situation. So, and then you've got Jeff.
And then you've got Jeff and he's like, just honored to meet the girls. Then we go back to Yvette and the girls that are remaining. Yvette says, we're down to one security. And Cheryl goes, that's just great, isn't it? they continue to walk around this building. Cheryl tells us that this is the most frightened they felt.
Mm.
And then they find something. Cheryl asks if it's a rocking chair, but it's not. What is it, David? Oh,
it's a wheelchair, isn't it?
It's a wheelchair. I want to burst your bubble slightly with this wheelchair, David, because I think that looks like quite a new modern wheelchair. That didn't look like an old wheelchair to me. There was quite recent logo branding on it.
But I think at that point, you're like so spooked already.
Yeah. I mean, in the dark, I'd be absolutely shitting myself at seeing a wheelchair. But I just mean as a viewer. So at this point, Kim and Cheryl say they heard and felt something breathe. They heard like a hiss. And then we cut back to Sarah in the taxi, bless her, and she has got FOMO. She's like, I want to see what's down there. And then here we have another classic back and forth of like, Yvette's telling Cheryl to go up front. And Cheryl's like, me, are you having a bubble bath? And here is that where there's a noise and Yvette screams and grabs the girls. Mm.
See, all it takes is for one person to do that in the dark, and then I'm off.
Yeah, like, so it's like if the person that's hosting this, if she's spooked, scared and grabbing me, I'd shit myself.
Yeah.
It's here that Kim says she doesn't want to make contact or see them and she wants to leave.
Because it's like a snapping sound, wasn't it? It's like a snap. And it was, you could see Kim jump. Like, it's just now she's freaked out. You know, she's been very cool, calm, collected the whole way. And now she's like, I just don't want to know.
Exactly.
I don't want to know. I don't want to see them or make contact. I don't know why I'm putting myself through this.
Yeah, exactly. She exclaims that, which is brilliant. Like, and we've seen such a journey here, and it is such like the mind fuckery of it all, because Kim is so not being like that. And here even on a logical level, though, if you're hearing rumbling and stuff in a dark room, I wouldn't want to be in there either. Obviously, I'd go for it, but if the special is ready, sign me up. But I would not want to do that at all. No way for shits and giggles. So it's here that Kim decides she wants to leave with security. But before she does, something hits Kimberly on her hand. And it's Cheryl that says she was aiming it for her. Because they've assumed it's a woman doing this.
Yeah.
It's here that a vet turns to Cheryl and goes, "Now do you believe me?" And Cheryl goes, "Completely."
Yeah. This is the point where she's like, this is no bullshit. Yeah. Now. This is real. Oh my God.
So in terms of like...
I'm freaked out at this point.
Oh God. But in terms of production and stuff, you're just like, jackpot. Like, you've got it on camera saying that. Mm. And it moves on to Kim saying that she feels like a right twat. Especially for saying that there was something there when it's something she doesn't believe in. And then Kim mentions and wonders if the wheelchair has moved.
Oh, no. I don't want to see. I don't want to know. Yeah. I'm just like Kim. I don't want to know if it's moved.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. It hasn't. But it's like, oh, fuck. Like. So around here, some bigger stones are thrown. And Kim says she's scared for her life. I'm not going to lie.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, could take someone's eye out with that. I mean, we're going to see more stuff flying as we go along, but...
Well, look, this is what Nicola was scared of.
Yeah, she didn't want that. And also, she's in the taxi now watching everything.
Sarah has decided that she wants to go back in with a torch.
Oh, yeah. She's like, okay, if we're allowed torches, I'll go back in.
Yeah.
Not that little light on the camera. I need at least... torch.
Yeah.
Light.
So then Sarah fights her fear, bless her, and starts to head back in with security and a bigger torch. Around here, we've got a vet trying to get Cheryl to go into a room. Cheryl's having none of it. And so vet's trying to get Cheryl to go in. And then Cheryl just goes, "Well, move." And a vet's like, "You move."
We might get some even more good responses if we go in there.
Who are you then?
Who are you then? Come with me then.
Well, move.
You move!
You think I'm walking in there with no camera on me own to get fucking pelted, bombarded with pebbles?
So you put the camera in there.
Good night.
And then here we have Nicola and Jeff, and they spot something. They're having a lovely time, and then they spot something on the camera, David. So what do Nicola and Jeff spot at this moment?
Nicola and Jeff can see on the camera that there are bats. Nicola's like, they are going to die.
And I think it's so great that production got that. It was perfect, really, that Nicola and Jeff spotted that, because the girls don't really ever spot or notice it in there, do they? So it's good that there was a way to get it acknowledged.
I mean, you're like moving around. Surely you would disturb the bats. And oh my God, there's nothing worse than, you know, talk about stuff flying past. That would be bats.
Yeah.
Not a ghost. Have not a spirit.
Have you ever seen a bat in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have actually.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Wow, you're a brave man. Where was it?
We have them in Australia, yeah.
Crawling into your
and
bedroom.
And also in Malaysia, yeah. Lots of bats in Malaysia.
Do they make lots of noise.
Yeah,
do they get in the house?
Oh my God, no. No, not had one get in the house. Oh my God. I wouldn't know what to do. Oh my God, I have to leave the house. The bat's moved in now. The bat moves in, I'm out, I'm moving out.
So yeah, I really think Nick and Jeff were having a lovely time, like pissing themselves at this. And then Sarah, bless her, she heads straight back in and then pretty much heads straight back out again.
Yeah, she we didn't even see around. Her really in it. No, it's too much, but I appreciate the effort.
And then it's here, David, that the girls spot a chair in the corridor.
Mm-mm. No. No, 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 no.
And Yvette wants one of the girls to sit in it.
Yeah. I love this. Cheryl, you can piss right off. You can sit in it. No, you've got to experience it, Cheryl. You sitting in that chair. That's what I want to experience.
And that's the energy that we need to have.
That is that back chat is just like, oh my God. She's so antagonistic. I love it.
So then we cut completely. So I think there was a moment or something here. We cut completely. Cameras back on. Cheryl and Kim are sat in this chair together.
Oh my God. They did it.
Which, you know, but shows together. Their friendship and their bond. Cheryl, there's a really bad smell in here, you know. Do you think Kim farted? Or Cheryl was trying to cover up her own?
I love this bit as well, where Yvette's like, can you make it freezing where the two girls are? And can you touch one of them gently? And Kim's like, not me, please.
Yeah. No, sorry, Yvette, not me, please. Come on now, honestly. She hasn't even lived out her passion of being in Les Mis yet. Come on, Yvette. This is kind of like our big finale moment. And this chair is sort of like through, it was hard to completely tell with the night vision and everything, but it's kind of through a hole in the wall, isn't it?
Yeah, spooky. Why would it be there? What is the reason?
There's a hole in the wall which goes sort of to another small room and there's a chair sat through it. No. Not a chance. So the girls have sat in it. And then after all this, Yvette offers for Kim and Cheryl to leave. And they do.
Can you make it go very, very cold by where the two girls are sitting on the chair? Make it go freezing. Can you touch one of them gently?
Not me, please.
Are you ready to come out now?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you ready to come home?
Yeah.
Come on, I'll take you home.
And Yvette is by herself, and that's when she experiences something.
So the girls have left, but they are, like, told and invited to leave. Like, they've come to a natural end. And Auntie Yvette stays on her own. And this is the dramatic moment. She's pelted at by stones, and she runs out. And here she's sort of proclaiming, the girls have left me on my own. It's like, you did say, like, girls, are you ready to leave? So come on, we've got the receipts from 30 seconds ago.
But the way she said it was like, oh, now that they've left, that the spirits are really coming for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think that was just production throwing stones at Yvette?
Probably. It's like, we needed that shot of her like really freaked out.
Yeah, sort of Blair Witch Project moment.
Absolutely. So they're all piling into the cab at the end of this, right? Now, I just want to say at this point, I am not getting in the cab riding home after an experience like that without first having sage. Like, you should, production, you need to have sage there, like, as we leave the haunted place. Because I don't want to carry that energy, that spirit with me in the car trip, back to my house.
You could have
sage the shit out of it.
Production could have tried to have convinced Nadine to come and do that as well. So then you've got her at the beginning and at the end.
Yeah, she's there with a sage, like burning sage, like just wafting over the girls. Didn't think you'd make it back alive.
I was learning all your lines.
I was ready to go back on tour. That's just one girl's allowed. Just a girl allowed.
I was four girls overboard, you know what I mean? Are we led to believe that Cheryl and Kim weren't that ahead of Yvette? Because by the time they all run out, like, Kim and Yvette are running out the house together.
She caught up.
Yeah. Yvette's just a really fast runner. I mean, you would be running for your life in that situation, wouldn't
you? Fucking hell, yeah.
So, yes, they all get into the taxi unsaged and they drive back to safety, quote unquote. And then that's before, we got a little bit at the end here, but that's the end of our time with the girls and their journey. So then we cut to Yvette's thoughts on the girls one-on-one. And the two that really stood out to me in her reactions is that she said she was a little bit disappointed in Nicola. And me as a viewer, I'm saying at least Nicola showed up. Like, as a viewer, you can't really say she was disappointed. Like, she showed up and she did what she could. We've got a member that couldn't physically show up. So I think it's quite unfair to say they're disappointed in her.
It's quite harsh on Nicola, yeah.
And then I love that she says her heart goes out to Sarah and she's got so much respect for her. Absolutely agreed. I just love that Sarah absolutely went for it. And Yvette goes
even
on.
Even went back in. Yeah. Like I said, the FOMO, I think Sarah doesn't want to miss out.
Yvette went on to say that she did give it her all. And then Yvette closes with saying, we changed the belief of four girls. And I'm pretty sure we could do that to anybody if they're brave enough.
cue the season, yeah.
This, David, I think is a television classic.
This is. And, you know, that will go on for a few years. Every year it seemed to come back with a couple of different guests. The following year in 2007, they had some people from Emmerdale do it. That McFly, Radio 1 DJs do it. 2008, Corey actors did it, and I'm a Celeb actors, Paul O'Grady and friends. 2009, Louis Walsh and Boyzone did it, and the Happy Mondays.
Louis Walsh with Boyzone, that's so funny.
I know. Katie Price did it.
Oh no, not Katie.
Katie, the Pricey.
The Pricey, Ghost Hunting with the Pricey.
Ghost Hunting with the Pricey in 2010, which is also the same year the Saturdays did it. Now, you brought this to my attention only yesterday. I need to find it somewhere.
I need to find it as well.
So you've not seen it either?
I've not seen it either. I think, guys, if you enjoyed this episode, let us know if we should do that in the future.
And then we can, like, get together and watch it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's on YouTube.
We'll be able to. We'll find it in the depths of the internet. If not, Adam, you'll be hearing from us. Do you think, David, that Nadine tuned in for this to see what the hell was going on and what they all got up to?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She would want to know, yeah, but not do it herself.
No.
Yeah.
Popcorn, glass of wine.
Yeah, laughing her head off.
That's not me.
I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
I will say, I think it's a shame that there's no Girls Aloud tracks just woven in anywhere in the special.
Not even You Freak Me Out.
No, exactly. I was thinking that especially. Nothing in the opening or closing credits at all.
Yeah, come on, Yvette.
I mean,
she's like, this is only a pilot. Let's keep it all about me.
This is my show. It's with Girls Aloud.
Yeah.
Well, Davo, I'm so happy we dived in and we watched this classic moment of television. I've loved it. I hope you have. I hope our listeners have enjoyed it as well. And I can't wait for you to go and see 222, A Ghost Story, starring Al Sherrill. And I can't wait to get your thoughts on it. And just, I hope you and the boys have the best time ever.
I'm going to be dead jumpy. I can't.
Treat yourself to a lovely glass of wine, but
yeah,
just make sure
I'm
you don't
need that
throw
taxi
it out
on
your
standby.
Head.
Yeah. Yeah. Get Jeff in the taxi on standby because it might be too much for me.
We hope we've not freaked you out too much, but you have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can email our hearts rightbackpod@gmail.com. Hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to us. Leave us a 5-star review. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB on all platforms, and you can follow him at
Lovely Me.
Until next time, bye.
Did you hear a tap?